that as we go through change, that is, in a sense, that is a time of trial. There's some suffering that happens in that because we're outside of our comfort zone. But God promises that we are growing one of the things that we get through that is a growth of character. We are being transformed more into the person that God created us to be. We're being conformed to Him, His image, and that as we're being pushed outside of our comfort zone and maybe given more responsibility than we are initially comfortable with, that is an opportunity for God to grow our character, to grow who we are, to grow the gifts that God has maybe placed in us that we didn't know that we had before. When we were missionaries in Russia, I had been there several years at the time, and there was a transition of leadership. The leader of the YWAM base was leaving, and there was not really a succession plan put in place for that to happen. They left. They said, "Okay, well, we're going to leave a leadership team. You three are going to be on the leadership team." Okay, so it was me and two other people on the leadership team. And so our first meeting, they said, "Okay, well, we need a leader of the leadership team. Who's going to do it?" And the two others said, "I'm not going to do it. No way." I said, "Well, I guess, Brian, you're going to do it." And not prepared, not ready, and definitely not feeling adequate or qualified to be in that position. But I made a lot of mistakes, but God was faithful. God was gracious as I stepped up into that position, not because it was something that I sought out myself, but because I was faithful to follow God and in what He was leading, that we had some successes. We did all right. God got us through, and it was definitely a time of stretching and growing, but looking back, now I can see, okay, God, you were using that to grow me, grow my leadership, give me new experience, give me new tools that now I'm using in my job at the Nehemiah Project. And who knows how long I'll be at the Nehemiah Project, but I know that God is using things there to grow me into whatever the next thing is, whenever that is, whether that's 5 years from now or 50 years from now. And so we can look and say, okay, God, as we go through transition, as we go through change, not look at it as, okay, this is uncomfortable for me. I don't want to do this. I don't like this. I don't feel good. But we can, just like it says in Romans, that we can have joy. We can rejoice in those times, saying that, okay, God, thank you that you're giving me the opportunity to grow. And I'm sure that as you guys have been in transition here, I don't know, but I'm guessing that as Pastor Ward was no longer able to pastor here, that some of you were challenged to step up into positions that and roles that he was taking or that he had, and that was not necessarily always the most comfortable thing for you. But I know that, like, just take heart and be encouraged that God is using that even in your life to grow you into the people that God has created you to be. That process of sanctification is happening in your life, and it's happening through these seasons that we go through. The second way that God grows us is He grows our faith as we are going through transition. There's so much unknown in transition. And so the question is, do we really trust God as we take that next step? Are we really trusting in His leading? Are we going to rely on Him to lead us? Are we going to rely on Him to guide us? Or are we going to try to do it in our own strength, in our own power? You know, it's easy just to try to run our own race. I catch myself doing that quite often and trying to figure things out on my own, and especially in a new position where you're thinking, okay, X, Y, and Z has to change, or I want to do things this way. The challenge is, okay, God, am I going to rely on you and say, give this up to you? You've put me here. There's a reason that I'm I'm going through this change or the transition in my life. What are you wanting to do with it? And you know what? I really take heart in thinking about this, that when we look back at the father of our faith, at Abraham, in a sense, when we walk through with God through transition, we are walking in the same path that Abraham did. We look in Hebrews what it says there, that it was by faith that Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. And as we're going, stepping out into a new season, a lot of times we don't know where we're going. We might have an idea, we might have a plan, but we really don't know. And it's in those times that we can take heart that we're doing the same thing that Abraham did. That step of faith that Abraham took, that first step of faith in trusting God, that we can in some way take part in that. And that we know that without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so as we take those steps of faith and as we trust God in a new season and stepping out into the unknown, that God's growing our faith, that we can take joy in that. The question for us is, are we allowing that to happen? I know that there's been times where I don't. I just do things in my own strength, and I don't step back and trust God for what and trust Him for what the next steps are going to be. You know, it's not about knowing the end result. I always remember in high school thinking about, okay, what are the next steps going to be, and thinking I've got to have my whole life planned out ahead of me. I've got to know what my profession's, where I'm going to college, what my profession's going to be, where I'm going to live, how I'm going to retire. And as I followed God, I see that that is just so not the case. That God shows us maybe it's a day ahead of time what today is going to bring sometimes, and sometimes what this hour is going to bring. But that's the joy that we have in following God, that it's just following Him one step at a time, one day at a time, and that knowing that we can trust Him. And what a joy that we have, what reassurance that we have, knowing that we can trust Him in those seasons, right? That He's going to be with us. So a question here for us, are you going through a time of transition right now? And if you are, ask God, how are you trying to grow me? What are you trying to teach me? And God, am I trusting you in this time, or am I trying to do this in my own strength? So the next part of going through transition is that transition brings change, but it shouldn't, that it's not a change, that it doesn't change our identity. If we look back to the scripture here, in verse 7, it says, "Be strong and courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep the book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything that is written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful." There's a tendency, at least I have this tendency, or I've had this tendency when I start something new or step into a new position, that, there's a pressure that I've got to change everything or change things. And, you know, that's not always the case. You know, we see the Israelites, they're going through this time of change. They have a new leader, they're ready to cross into a new land, a land that they've been looking forward to for 40 years. They've been wandering in the desert, but this is the land that they've been promised. And finally, they're able to go into this new land. And even among so much change going on as a new leader and going into a new place, there was still something that held them, that gave them their identity more than just who their leader was or where they were at. It was the law that was given to them, and it was the promise that was given to them beforehand by Moses. and the covenant that Abraham had with them. So as long as they kept their identity in that, they were successful, right? As we all know, the story of the Old Testament is the Israelites conquered the land and wavered in their faith, that whenever they were faithful to what God to the identity that God gave them as their chosen people, and were faithful to the law that he gave them, that they were successful. But it's when they wavered in that and they changed their identity, they changed the gods that they worshiped, they changed the laws that they had, that they were not successful, and there was ultimately judgment. So a question for us is, where do we get our identity from as we go through change? You know, in America, people get their identities from all sorts of places, right? A lot from their profession or the city they live in or the school they went to or the sports teams they cheer for. And you know what happens when those things change or when those things fall apart? What happens when you lose your job or you have to move to a new city? Or what happens when the sports team you cheer for doesn't make the playoffs for 9 years in a row? Sorry, I'm a as a Red Wings fan, this is it's close to home. But, you know, there can be a loss of identity, of who am I? What am I doing? And we as Christians, we can fall into the same trap, even though we do it with things that we would say are more noble or more spiritual. We would say, you know, we get our identity from our family status or from the denomination that we belong to or the church that we go to or the pastor that we follow. And even those, I would say those things are maybe better ways to get your identity than, you know, the sports team that you cheer for. There's still things that can change. And what happens when there's death in the family, when you're left alone without a spouse? What happens when the denomination you belong to or the church you attend or the pastor that you follow, that there's scandal or you see that there was character flaws there? What happens in those times? Do we lose our identity then? And I can say that there's lots of Christians that have lost their identity and lost their faith because they've placed their identity not in the right place. They've placed it in a person or in a church or in a building. So where we get I can relate to this. We can relate to this. When we moved back here, we had to move here pretty quickly, but our identity for years was as missionaries. And we put a lot of our identity into that, as being missionaries living in a foreign country. You know, we had lived in Russia for 9 years, and even before that, both Veneer and I had been on the mission field or been involved in missions for years before that. And so that was a big part of who we are. Is okay, we're the missionaries, we're the Russian missionaries, and whenever we would come back here, that's who we were to people. And then to come back here after that, and really that was a big loss of our identity, of not knowing who are we now. we don't live overseas anymore. What are we doing here? And it was it continues to be a struggle at times for us. God, who are we? And so our identity has to be placed in something much more solid than just what we do or where we go to church or who we follow. If we look at Romans 8, 14 to 17, we can find where identity needs to be. Who God sees us as. And it says, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs with Christ, and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him." Isn't that a much more solid place to get our identity from? that we are sons and daughters of God, that that's not something that can waver or change depending on the weather or depending on a job change or depending on life or death even. That our identity is as heirs with Christ. And do we embrace that? Do we really own that as our identity, as our base identity? We can have other identities on top of that, of course. We can have other things that we relate to on top of that. But if our base is not as sons and daughters of God, then everything else, then we're building on sinking sand. We have to know who we are in Christ. That's so important as we go through change, as we go through transition, that stays the same. So my question is, as an individual, where do you get your identity from? And does that need to change? What is your primary identity? If everything else was stripped away, what would you call yourself? Who would you be? And then as a church, as you've gone through or continue, I don't know where you guys are at in the process of transition. But I would say, what is your identity as a church? You're the body of Christ, right? You're the bride of Christ. But maybe there's things that God has, words that God has spoken to you about your identity as the body of Christ here in Bay Shore. Talk about potentially being, maybe I'm guessing as a grandfather or a grandparent church, that those core values as a church don't change no matter who's behind the pulpit, no matter who's sitting in the pews. That things might change around, but that your identity as a church doesn't change. And God's not calling you to change everything here. It's just a new season. So have wisdom in that. I'm sure that you do. There's a lot of wisdom in this room as you go through change. That you're really seeking the Lord and saying, okay, God, what are the things that need to change? But God, what are the core values? What is our identity that is not going to change regardless? So that's the second point. First is that transition brings growth. The second is that transition brings change, but not a change in identity. And the third part is that God's presence goes before you through transition and that we need to rely on Him. So we look back at the verses we read in chapter 1, verse 9 of Joshua. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. It's the most encouraging part, the easiest part, hopefully, for us. That God is with us, that we need to be strong and courageous as we go through transition, as we go through change, that we can have confidence in this time. It doesn't have to be a time of fear. Don't allow fear to hold you back from what God wants you to achieve in a new season. It's so easy to think about the what ifs, to think about to try to think everything through on our own and not trust God and not say, okay, God, I know you're with me through this. I can have confidence in walking into this new season. But we know that that God's promise isn't that life is going to be easy, but we know that His presence is with us. And I just think to the disciples and to, as we were celebrating the resurrection of Christ, and then after 40 days of Him walking with them, He was gone, right? And He left them, and that was a definite time of transition. And those disciples, we see a complete transformation, right? As they are cowering in the upper room, afraid, and then 40 days later, 40 days after Christ's ascension, they're out in the street preaching the gospel. And what changes there? What was the change that happened? One, that they saw Christ, right? They They saw him. That's got to give faith. But what's the other thing that happened? The Holy Spirit. They were given the Holy Spirit. That as the Holy Spirit came on them, the Holy Spirit empowered them to give them the strength, the wisdom, everything they needed to step into their new roles as apostles. And the exciting thing is that we have that same Spirit. The Holy Spirit is living in us and is giving us the power that we need to do whatever he's calling us to do, whatever that looks like. That we can have confidence, that we cannot be afraid, that we can be strong and courageous in a season of transition or whatever season the Lord is taking us through right now. But the question is, are we embracing that? Are we listening to our fears more than we're listening to the Spirit of God? You know, and this is a mature body of Christ. You guys have some other resources, your experience with years of walking with the Lord, going through many transitions, I'm sure, in your lives, and being able to look back and see God's faithfulness in each of those seasons and seeing his faithfulness to take you through those seasons. I'm preaching to the choir here. And the Israelites had that same experience, that they were able to look back and say, okay, God has taken us out of Egypt. He's provided for us miraculously through the wilderness. He parted the Red Sea. He parted the Jordan for us to walk through, that we can have faith that God's walking with us through that. But there's another challenge in that even the Israelites wavered in their faith afterwards. And we always have that chance or the choice whether we're going to continue to trust God or whether we're going to waver in our faith. And so my challenge to you is that in whatever season you're going through, wherever you're at in that transition, that you continue to hold fast to the Lord. Continue to trust him as he promises to be with us and walk with us through transition and change. You know, transition, it's not the end of the story, it's the middle. We know that God has something new afterwards. It's just getting through that time and trusting him through that time. Knowing that, one, he's going to grow us through that. Number two, that he's not changing who we are, ultimately. And number three, that he's walking with us. So as I finish up here, just three questions for us. What transition are you facing right now, and are you inviting God into that change? Is God inviting you to trust him deeper? Number two, when there's change going on all around you, where are you getting your identity from? And number three, when do you need to remember that God is with you? He's with you right now. And are there times that we're trusting in our fear more than we're trusting in God's presence? So I'd like just to pray for you this morning. Again, I don't know where each of you are at. I don't know where this church is at in this process, but I know that God is with you and walking with you. That he's got amazing things for this church. I believe that. I just think that this church has a special anointing. You're the only church in Bayshore. That's a strategic calling in and of itself. You know, you are a light here to this neighborhood. And I just want to pray for you that God will affirm the things that he's placed on your heart as a church and as individuals, and that you'll have confidence to walk into that. So, Father God, I just thank you so much for this body, Lord. I thank you so much for the faithfulness of this church to be here in Bayshore and worship you on a weekly basis, to reach out to this community, Father. Be lights here, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that as they're in this time of transition and change, from Pastor Ward into a new season here, I just pray, Lord, that this would not be a time to look back and have sorrow about the things that are lost, but there would be great joy in what's happened before, but also great excitement about what's happening here now and what you've got planned for the future. I thank you, Lord, that you're faithful to walk with us as we go through each season of life, that we can have confidence, Lord, knowing that no matter what's going on or changing around us, Lord, that you're with us, that you're the process that you have us on of sanctification, that you're faithful to bring that process to completion, and that this journey that we're on is part of that change that you want to have in our lives, that we would be transformed more and more into your likeness, into the image of Christ. And I pray that for each person here and for this body as a church. Thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen.